In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the Crown prosecutors who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
MIU Central HQ, 21st October.
It's an oxymoron.
No, it's not.
Matty, what are you talking about? Sausages are made from meat, not soya, and they certainly ain't made from vegetables.
Why should veggies be denied the pleasure of the sausage roll? And let's face it, Ron, it is half the fact.
And after taste, I'll have you know, I am at the peak of my fitness. Do not let this cuddly exterior fool you, son.
A grim-faced Natalie and the staff congregate in front of them.
Blimey, who died?
My office. Now.
Ronnie dumps a half-eaten sausage roll in the bin. Kelvedon Estate, Camberwell, Thursday, 21st of October. A run-down council estate. A third police vehicle drives up. Ronnie and Matt walk towards an entrance barred by yellow crime scene tape. An officer staggers out. A sign reads Peldon House.
He's in there. How could anyone?
The ashen officer leans against the railing. Ronnie gives him a comforting pat on the shoulder. Inside, a female socco crouches in the hallway, clearly overcome. Ronnie stares down at her. Ronnie peers into a room taped off with crime scene tape. His brow furrows. His jaw drops. Socco Joy Aykroyd stares into space, a bloody Barbie doll on the carpet.
He's 5. Maybe 6. Looks like he's only been dead a few hours. Contusions around the...
Joy swallows, lowers her head.
You okay, Joy? Take your time, love.
Contusions around the neck. Particularly around the eyes. A bang to the back of the head. There's curvilinear abrasions here and here, suggesting strangulation. And there's this, caused by something sharp and pointed, bigger than a pin or a needle, though.
Looks like a letter R.
A bloody R scratched into his chest.
What's that on his lips?
There was a popping noise when I moved in to examine the head wound. This was on the floor. Someone's poured the whole lot into his mouth.
Crackle candy.
Just when you think you've seen it all.
A twilight view of London and the River Thames. Law, Bradley Walsh as brown-haired, craggy-faced DS Ronnie Brooks. Jamie Bamber as boyish, smooth-faced DS Matt Devlin. Harriet Walter as sharp-featured 40-something DI Natalie Chandler. Order, Ben Daniels as lean, middle-aged senior prosecutor James Steele. Freema Agyeman as young black prosecutor Alicia Phillips. And Bill Patterson as the worldly wise director of Crown Prosecutions, George Castle. Law and Order UK, original series created by Dick Wolf, at the rundown estate.
How can we have a body when a kid hasn't even been missed?
Because the parents probably did it.
Or maybe they're at work. I mean, it's half term, so I reckon even the parents round here with jobs couldn't afford a child, man.
They haven't even noticed he's missing.
DI Natalie Chandler stops in her tracks as a news crew screeches up.
Keep them as far away as possible.
There's CCTV all over this estate. They must have caught something.
Well, providing you're not fireman that works.
I'll get intel onto it. You talk to the kids, see if any of their mates have gone over.
A girl in an Arsenal shirt.
Darren's over the park doing it with Shania Chapman.
How old's Darren?
11.
11.
Whatever happened to a game of Conkers?
What's Conkers? Connor!
What's happening here? You all right, son? What's up?
My brother Connor was supposed to meet me over at the shop hours ago.
And how old's your brother?
6.
When did you last see him?
This morning. I saw him. He was playing over there, and then this smelly man come and took him.
ABE Interview Room, Bow Street, Thursday, 21st of October.
Baseball cap with, like, a beard.
And wearing a leather jacket. That's what you said, babe.
And you saw him with Connor?
He smelled like petrol.
Right.
Devlin,
I mean, you were so close to him, you could smell him.
He walked past her, didn't he?
Okay. Thanks.
And when he walked past you, was Connor with him then?
No. He went in with Connor, but he'd come out on his own.
Okay. He just picked up Connor's mum from work. He's on the way from mortuary.
Ronnie's face creases in sadness. At the mortuary, Matt leads Connor's mum, Julie Reed, along a muted green corridor. A bouquet of flowers stands at one end. She totters after Matt and stands in front of the viewing room. Light suddenly filters in. She shudders, then sways, her face sodden with tears. She clasps her hands, screams, and crumples to the floor. She bends double and rocks to and fro. At the police station.
I was late for work. I didn't kiss him goodbye.
Julie's face screws up in pain. She wipes her nose.
Julie, I'm very sorry, but we're going to need to ask you some questions, OK?
Do you think he was really scared?
Matt's eyes flicker in discomfort.
You've had some contact with social services over the kids, yes? Yeah?
My ex hit Liam once. The minute I found out, I packed his bags.
So there wasn't an adult that you could leave him with?
You think I could afford a super nanny? I work 12 hours a day to keep a roof over our heads. I can't just give up because it's school holidays.
So Liam looks after Connor while you're at work, yeah?
Yeah. Liam and the girls.
And that's Paige Ward.
Paige and her mate. Always coming round asking if they could babysit. Connor loved them. Because I'll get Buddy back. It's his toy dog. He took him everywhere.
Of course, yeah. We need to keep him just a little bit longer, but we'll let you have him back as soon as we can, I promise.
Julie, have you ever seen this man around the estate? We think he's a mechanic.
Yeah, he looks like my neighbour's boyfriend. Rob, something else. Yeah, no, he works at the garage on Cold Harbour Lane. That's it. What? You think it was him?
In an interview room.
Maybe you should call your brief. I don't need a brief, because I don't know nothing about no little boy. I'm a red-blooded bloke, mate. Like, look under my mattress if you don't believe me.
Our witness saw you take that boy into those flats, only you came out alone and he ended up dead.
The boy lived in the flat next door to your girlfriend.
Or at least he did, until our witness spotted you abduct him.
Well, they need their eyes testing, don't they? Because I banged on my missus' door for 10 minutes, and then I went back to work.
And did anyone see you leave?
Well, I don't know, do I?
An impassive Ronnie stares over the top of his glasses. Rob Denton fidgets and rocks in his seat. Matt leans back casually.
No, there was a girl. There was a girl. She must have been about 12-ish.
That's it?
Yeah. She had, like, fair hair. She was a skinny thing. Arsenal shirt.
And this was at Lexton House?
Right by the door, like she was waiting for someone to come out.
Here's the problem, Paige. You say you saw the man at the empty flats, the ones they're pulling down.
He went inside with Connor.
I don't like her playing near them empty flats.
Well, you see, we think you saw the man at Lexton House where Connor lived.
No.
Are you sure it wasn't Lexton House?
It was Peldon. I ain't lying, Mum.
Paige, don't tell lies. She's a good girl.
And you've never been to Lexton House at any time?
No.
Are you sure about that?
I said, didn't I? I told you. Why is he picking on me?
We just really need you to help us out here.
Paige bites her thumbnail.
Yeah, would you like a drink? Do you want a cup of tea, Matty? Mrs. Ward, would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yeah, cheers. 2 sugars.
OK.
Ronnie leaves. Matt smiles at Paige.
I used to chew my nails when I was a kid. Especially if I was nervous. We had this teacher at school. He used to bang his hand down on the table every time he saw me do it. Of course, it only made me do it even more. You chew your nails because you're nervous, don't you? Thing is, Paige, We've spoken to the man that you saw with Connor, and he says that you saw him at Lexton House, where Connor lived.
He was by a Peldon.
And you're absolutely certain?
Cross my heart.
Because I won't be angry. You know, if you've made a mistake, we all make mistakes.
If you don't believe her, you can ask her mate. Joined at the Ip, them two.
Someone else saw what happened.
Rose. She was with me the whole time.
Outside Rose's flat on the rundown estate.
Police, open up, please.
Got a warrant.
Is your mum there, Rose?
She's busy.
We just need you to open the door.
Rose can be seen reluctantly reaching for the lock through the frosted glass.
I'm only supposed to open the door if she screams.
Ronnie and Matt exchange a glance. Rose steps aside.
Thank you.
Rose takes a seat in the dingy lounge. A man exits from a door off the cramped hallway. He throws Matt a look of contempt, zips up his top and strolls out. An emaciated brunette in a floral dressing gown, Kelly Shaw, follows the man out. She eyes Ronnie and Matt.
I don't do threesomes, so you might have to wait in here.
Actually, we would like to talk to Rose about the boy who died in the empty flats.
Rose don't know nothing about it.
Well, we think she could be a witness. So we'd like you both to come down to the station for a video ID.
An irritated Kelly glowers at Rose.
Both girls picked out Denton from the video ID. We've got enough to charge him.
And Denton identified Paige outside the dead boy's flat.
Or maybe he saw her at the murder scene.
But Denton hasn't got any previous involving kids. You know, the cause of death's been confirmed. It wasn't the bump on the head. It was by manual strangulation. No signs of sexual assault.
Oh, so he's been flying under the radar. Those girls know what they saw.
I still think Paige is lying.
Because she chews her nails.
It's just a feeling, Ron.
Well, we can talk to her again. That's no problem.
If the girl saw Denton take the kid, then someone else must have done.
Someone did.
They all look at Angela.
There's something you need to see. This is Denton outside his girlfriend's flat. At 9:31, he heads towards the car park.
Footage of Denton throwing flowers over the railing. Paige passes him with a football in her hands.
Then, at 9:35...
Footage of Rose leading Connor out of his flat. Rose takes Connor's hand. Angela stares up at Natalie.
And another camera picks them up heading towards Peldon House.
Please God, tell me this isn't what I think it is.
Paige and Rose swing Connor's arms as they cajole him towards the entrance to Peldon House.
Look at her, face of an angel.
Paige seems to trust you.
You take Rose, but I want a member of CPS watching those interviews, and I want both girls arrested and cautioned before they speak a single word.
You understand that you can have a solicitor here if you want one?
Oh, we don't need one. She ain't done nothing wrong, have you, babe? No.
Okay. I want to talk about what happened to little Connor.
You went out to play with your friend Paige, is that right?
Yeah. We played football.
OK. Rose, do you know Connor?
You know she does. He lives in our block.
Miss Shaw, I need Rose to answer the questions.
Come on,
please. Rose, did you go to Connor's flat the morning that he died?
Yeah. Liam left him alone.
So you and Paige took him out to play, yeah?
Ain't nice being left on your own.
Is this going to take much longer?
Is this somewhere you need to be? I mean, I can always get a social worker to come and sit in if you can't wait.
You don't know me. Just get on with it, yeah?
Kelly Shaw twitches and scratches her skin.
So where did you take Connor to play, Rose?
By Peldon House. But then this man come and took Connor inside.
And you know that's where we found Connor, don't you? Peldon House.
Did he just lay down and die?
A wide-eyed Rose eyes Ronnie.
Well, you know what? I think you know how he died, Rose. I don't think there was any man there at all.
Yes, there was a man. Look, the man took him. Ask him what happened to Connor, not me.
I don't think you're telling me the truth.
Yes, I am!
I've changed my mind. You can call that social worker.
No, Mum, you can't leave me.
No, just listen to what he says, right? Only words you say, no comments.
No, Mum, no, I want to go home with my mum.
Stay there, Rosie. Look, Kelly, I used to sit in these rooms just as twitchy as you. I'm now. Kelly, listen to me. All right?
Mum!
I wasn't worrying about what my next question was. I was worrying about when I was going to get my next drink.
Mum, shut up!
Kelly, today could be the first day you don't use, and you do have a choice. Your habit or your daughter.
Mum!
Rose looks on, a little girl lost. Matt and a grinning page slurp their drinks.
So you like Arsenal, yeah?
They're the best. And it's all right to support Millwall from South London, because really they're from Woolwich, Arsenal. They just moved north in the olden days.
Yeah, that's right. And you got number 11 on your shirt. It's Van Persie, isn't it?
Rachel Yankee. She's done this talk at our school.
Arsenal ladies, all she goes on about.
Well, maybe one day you'll be the next Rachel Yankee, eh?
No, I'll never be as good as her.
I used to play a bit when I was a kid. Yeah, we had a scout from the Arsenal come round our school once. Only I was so nervous about not being picked, I pulled a sickie.
You didn't even try?
Well, I wanted to. But the truth is, I was too scared of messing up. I never told anyone that before. I feel better now that I've told you. You know when you try and keep a secret and you want to tell? It sort of hurts to keep it inside. Well, if you share it with a friend, it feels better. You see, Paige, I think you've got a secret about what happened to little Connor. And we're friends, aren't we? Let me share your secret. Make it stop hurting.
A sobbing Paige buries her head in her mum's lap. Later, Matt leans against a railing. Ronnie stands facing him.
She's so close I can smell it. When my girls were little, I took them to the fair one Sunday. And we were queuing up and I was paying for the girls to get on this ride. Typical Sunday dad overcompensating. I've got toys and prizes I'd won, popcorn, candy floss, all that stuff. I turned round, little one had gone. Just disappeared, and the place was mobbed. That is really, truly frightening, mate. Do you know where she was? And me, a copper and all. She'd sneaked into the stall next door and was trying to nick a goldfish. I tell you, kids, mate. It's fine.
I wish you'd get back in there.
Yeah. Just give us a minute, eh?
Ronnie leans against the railing and rubs his hand across his forehead.
Tell me, ain't true you got them girls in there? They wouldn't hurt my Connor. No, they wouldn't.
We're just talking to them at the moment, Julie.
Yeah, but they're just kids. I mean, please, just tell me they didn't do it, yeah? Please,
An anguished Julie sobs into Ronnie's chest. Back in the interview room, Matt shows Paige a picture of her and Rose leading Connor into Peldon House.
That's you, isn't it, Paige? Number 11, like Rachel Yankee. And that's Rose, isn't it? And that's Connor. You see, there's cameras all over the estate. They take pictures of people walking about, going in and out of the blocks. This picture was taken about 20 minutes before Connor died. There's other pictures that show the man that you picked out leaving the estate before Connor died.
Paige looks at the photo, then up at Matt. Her eyes return to the photo, then fix on her mum.
Do you think Mum realises just how serious this is?
Who wants to believe their kid's involved with something like this?
Poor woman's in shock. I know I would be if that was one of my girls sat there.
Maybe we should get Matt to ask again if they want a brief.
She's going to spill any second.
You know I love you, babe. No matter what you've done, you've got to tell the policeman the truth.
Who went into Peldon House with Connor?
Just me and Rose. Little Connor. We took him.
And did someone hurt Connor?
He was crying. He wanted his mum. And Rose put her hands around his neck. He tried to get her off. But he fell back and banged his head against the wall.
It's okay, baby. It's okay.
And what happened next, Paige?
She got on top of him. Started squeezing his neck again. When she got off, he just lay there. And then she got out this compass, like we use in maths, and told me to scratch my name on his tummy.
And you did it.
I only did the P. I couldn't do the rest. Then she took it off me and did another line to make it to an offer rose.
She weeps in her mum's arms. Tina Ward holds her daughter tight.
Can we go home now?
Police have arrested two girls aged 10 and 13 on suspicion of the murder of 5-year-old Connor Reed. Connor was found dead here at the Kelvedon estate last week. It's believed the girls were moved to a secret location last night after the police station where they were being held came under siege from angry protesters.
This is getting out of hand and we haven't even charged them yet.
Little girl killers. The public can't stomach it.
That's understandable.
Alicia shakes her head in disbelief. James lowers his.
Kids killing kids. This is as bad as it gets. So what are the girls saying?
They're blaming each other.
What about the forensics?
Well, the girls were tested too late for any surviving contact trace evidence, and we're still waiting on the analysis of their clothing.
So until we get it, there's no way of knowing which one of them's telling the truth.
The police believe Paige is telling the truth. That Rose is the killer. Paige has cooperated fully, and she's prepared to give evidence against Rose in court.
What does her brief want in return?
A Section 73 agreement. Paige has given a statement detailing exactly how Rose Shaw killed Connor Reed. She's a witness, nothing more.
Your client carved her initial into the dead boy's skin. She colluded with her friend to concoct a story blaming an innocent man.
Under duress from Rose Shaw.
Oh, come on, Luke. Rose is 3 years younger than your client.
And bright as a button, according to her teachers. Paige, on the other hand, has learning difficulties. The police believe Rose Shaw acted alone. A jury will too.
Paige pleads guilty to assisting an offender.
She's practically handing you Rose Shaw with bells on. The least you can do is drop the charges.
That's the deal. Take it or leave it. We signed that agreement. There's no going back.
Paige Ward gets immunity on everything except assisting an offender, right?
James takes a deep breath.
Okay, get the papers signed. But we charge Rose with murder. Who's her brief?
You so don't want to know.
Come on, how bad can it be?
There he is. Balls of steel.
Him?
You don't call, you don't write.
You didn't seriously expect any deals on the table.
You did get my email. Oh, don't tell me it's still floating around in cyberspace. I told our new clerk when we need to disclose something to the Crown, now means now.
What are you disclosing?
I brought you a spare copy. Just in case.
Barrister Kim Sharkey's beady eyes glint. She drops a file on the robing room table. She leaves. James snatches it up and thumbs through it.
Deep breaths.
Crown versus Shaw and Ward, Tuesday 2nd of November. The girls exchange giggles.
Rose Shaw is 10 years old. She played no part in this horrific crime and is devastated to learn that her best friend says otherwise. I'm asking you to release this poor child into her mother's care.
Miss Sharkey, as much as it irks me to have to consider locking up a 10-year-old, Paige Ward is your client choking a boy to death with her bare hands. I simply cannot ignore such a statement.
Indeed you cannot, my lord, were said statement taken legally. However, I suggest that is not the case.
and hereby apply to have Paige Ward's interview excluded.
My lord, I request an immediate adjournment. The Crown have not been informed of any such application.
And yet Miss Phillips appears to have a copy of the application and all supporting evidence right there in front of her.
Because you handed it over 5 minutes ago.
Either it was disclosed or it was not, Mr. Steele. Continue, Miss Sharkey.
At the time of her interview, Paige Ward was not accompanied by a solicitor or appropriate adult.
She was accompanied by her 28-year-old mother, who refused legal representation.
A woman with an IQ below that of an average 12-year-old.
Unlike the morals of the average 12-year-old, which my learned colleague shares.
Miss Sharkey, Mr. Steele, my chambers now, please.
After meeting Paige Ward's mother, I took it upon myself to have her IQ tested. It also came to light that she has learning difficulties and mild autism.
There wasn't time to second-guess the IQ of appropriate adults. The police had to act quickly in the best interest of gathering evidence.
Evidence they gathered by coercing a 13-year-old girl into saying what they wanted to hear. They bribed her with a happy meal and chatted about her hobbies, for God's sake.
The officer was creating a bond of trust with the suspect. They naturally assumed the mother would intervene if she was unhappy with the line of questioning.
Her mother wouldn't have intervened if D.S. Devlin had danced a fandango with her.
The only one making a song and dance about this is you. What have you got planned for your finale, Kim? IQ test
enough,
Paige Ward's counsel.
The whole point of an appropriate adult is to safeguard the rights and welfare of young people in custody. I intend to play this one with a straight bat. I'm granting Miss Sharkey's application to exclude the statement.
That statement put Roshaw's hands round Connor Reed's neck.
We signed the Section 73 based on it. Now we can't even use it.
You must have realized Tina Ward wasn't a suitable, appropriate adult.
Do I look like Darren Brown? She came across like half the adults we meet. We don't exactly deal with Mensa candidates.
Any other judge would have thrown Sharkey out of court pulling a stunt like that. Blame Justice Padotti.
Do we have a case without that statement?
Alicia's eyes flit to James, highly unlikely.
Please tell me, forensics are going to confirm Roshaw's guilt.
Without a doubt. Connor's DNA is going to be all over Roshaw's clothing.
Natalie straightens up as Julie Reed arrives.
Well, let's get this over with then. We represent Connor, which means we represent you.
We're certain the forensic analysis of the girl's clothing will give us the evidence we need to put Roshaw behind bars for a very long time.
She'll go to prison.
Well, initially, she'll remain in secure local authority care. Then when she's old enough, she'll be transferred to a young offenders institution, then an adult prison.
Her whole childhood.
You won't have to worry about her being released until her early 20s.
I saw this woman on the news last night. She said Roshaw's Satan reborn. They should bring back hanging just for her. Never heard so much hate in someone's voice.
Well, public feeling is very strong.
All these flowers on the estate. Sacked loads of cards every day like they all knew him. All of them out there feeding off my boy's death. Letting it take over their lives. It's like they need it. The funny thing is, all I want, yeah, all I need is to let it go.
The trial can help you do that.
Sending her to prison won't help me. It won't bring my boy back.
A devastated Julie fights back her tears.
Most victims' families find it gives them a sense of closure.
Closure? This ain't closure. This is for revenge. No, that little girl don't deserve it. She's been through enough. We live on the same estate. I know what goes on in there.
She broke the law in the most terrible way.
She's a child. What? You want to hide her behind a 10-foot wall so that no one has to look at her? No one has to ask her who's really responsible for Connor's death. No. It's too easy.
Prosecuting kids is never easy.
My Connor, he liked to draw them pictures, you know, the ones where you put the paint through the straws. He loved dogs.
want to remember him. My happy little boy. I don't want my memories clouded by hate. I mean, would you want your son brought up in a world with no hope?
George Castle shakes his head.
You can't save Connor. You can save her. Yeah, you can give Rosie Shaw life.
You can forgive her?
I hate what she did with every bone in my body, but I'm a mum. No. I can't hate a child. You say you represent me, and this is what you do. You make Connor's life mean something. Yeah, you find out why she did it, and you get that little girl out.
George focuses intently on Julie. His gaze shifts to her son Liam, sitting outside the CPS offices.
We have to help.
We can't just drop a murder charge. The DPP will have your balls and mine too, George.
Not just the DPP. The Attorney General wants Rose Shaw convicted of murder.
So that's it. Our hands are tied.
Not in my watch. You heard what Mrs. Reed wants.
What do we do?
My granddaughter is the same age. She spends her time riding ponies and making daisy chains. I want to know what makes a girl of 10 put her hands around a child's neck and squeeze the life out of her.
At a local authority's secure accommodation, a camera runs.
Rose, did you worry what your mum was doing with these men?
My mum says that psychiatrists, they mess up your brainwaves. Is that what you're going to do to me?
Dr. Marsh believes that the abuse changed the physiology of Rose's nervous system, which means her responsibility was diminished at the time of the killing.
Right, we offer Sharky a deal. Get Rose the help that she needs.
Elise just called. Forensics are in.
Are you sure about this?
Forensics don't lie. Kids do.
But everyone was so certain.
They checked both the girl's clothing. There are 148 microscopic spots of blood on the front of her shirt.
Which means that when the boy died, the one with her hands around his throat was Paige Ward.
We have a Section 73 signed and sealed. You can't charge Paige with anything further in relation to this case.
Your client had Connor Reed's blood all over her shirt.
Oh, which means that when Connor Reed died, the person in contact with him was indeed Paige, and not Rose Shaw.
It isn't true. It was Rose.
Must I remind you again, gentlemen, my client isn't here to be interrogated.
Paige, you trust me, don't you? I need you to tell me the truth.
We can walk out of here right now.
It's not what you think.
Paige, you don't have to say another word.
I want to explain. After she done it, Rose just left. I picked Connor up, but he made this noise, like a cough, sort of.
Why did you move him, Paige?
I wanted to take him home to his mum, but then Rose come back with a compass. I swear I didn't hurt Connor. It was me who put the toys there in case he got lonely.
Matt squeezes Paige's arm.
The pathologist has re-examined Connor's body. He found pulmonary interstitial emphysema, a buildup of pressure in Connor's lungs caused by blood blocking the airways. Now, it could have been released when Paige lifted him up, causing expiration spatter, or it could have been released as she was choking him. So much for forensics proving which one of them did it. Sharky's gonna have a field day with this.
Maybe not. According to the forensic report, there were 7 curvilinear abrasions on Connor's neck. 3 were at the front, made by Connor trying to prise his attacker's hands off, and 4 at the back, made by his attacker choking him.
Yeah, but the report said, without finding Connor's skin in the fingernail scrapings, there was no way to ascertain which girl made them.
Only Paige Ward's fingernails are bitten to the quick.
The nail marks on the back of Connor's neck.
Rose Shaw has a defect on the nail of her left forefinger.
The same defect can be seen in those marks.
148 spots of blood on a shirt spell murder to a jury. four nail marks spell a bit of rough play.
You should give jurors more credit, Kim. Lucky for you, we don't intend to put this to a jury.
You're offering a deal.
I'll accept a plea to manslaughter on the basis of diminished responsibility. Rose gets a hospital order with a Section 41 restriction.
You want to put her in hospital?
Don't you? Rose needs treatment.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Well, I'm giving your client a way out of a murder charge.
Surely it's in Rose's best interest to have someone try and fix her.
The child's a monster. I doubt anyone could fix her. You're only offering a deal because you're worried I'm going to win.
You couldn't care less what's best for Rose. You just don't want to give up your 15 minutes.
Cases like this come along once in a lifetime, James. They're career makers.
This isn't a shortcut to silk, Kim. It's a child's life.
Do calm down, James, or you'll be comparing ulcers with George. The jury are going to see a very pretty little girl and hear how the Crown made a deal with a teenager who had the victim's blood all over her shirt. I know who I believe.
Kim Sharkey smirks. James is furious.
She's a killer. And when the jurors see photographs of a strangled five-year-old, the only place they'll want her is a prison cell.
You know the prison system doesn't have the provision for the sort of treatment that this girl needs.
What is this preoccupation about treatment? The public don't care about treating killers.
Well, they ought to. It's a matter of public safety. Now, if we send her to hospital, she will be released only if and when she's no longer a danger.
Justice Spadotti will make sure she gets a minimum tariff of 12 years. There's no votes in being soft on children who commit crimes.
I don't make decisions based on what gets the Home Secretary most votes. You lock that little girl away and you might as well kill her too.
I'm not asking, George. As Director of Public Prosecutions, I'm telling. You try that girl for murder, and you make sure she's convicted.
Carla Hopley leaves. A fuming George pops a pill. Later outside the Old Bailey.
God, I swear that woman was put on this earth just to irritate my jury. Now, whatever it takes, you guarantee that that jury find on manslaughter diminished responsibility and not murder. I want that girl in a hospital, not a prison.
What about the DPP?
Oh, screw the DPP. I answer to Connor's mother on this one.
Crown vs. Shaw, Wednesday, 1st of December.
Dr. Haim Ginnock talks about kids being like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. In Rose's case, her abusive upbringing means she's ended up with a callous lack of concern for others.
So she lashes out. Is she in control of her actions?
I don't believe at the time of the killing she intended to kill or understood the permanency of death.
Can Rose's condition be treated?
It must be treated. Rose needs intensive psychotherapy and pharmaceutical treatment.
Thank you. No further questions.
Kim Sharkey rises up, ready to pounce.
Did you examine Paige Ward?
No.
Because the Crown didn't ask you to?
That's right.
And yet Rose told you repeatedly that it was Paige Ward who killed Connor, did she not?
Well, yes, but denial is often...
So how are we to know what Paige Ward's mental state was when Connor Reed's blood splashed all over the front of her shirt, or when she carved her initial into his stomach?
My lord, does my learned friend assume the witness has psychic powers? How else could he possibly answer such questions?
Miss Sharkey, please reserve questions regarding blood evidence for the appropriate expert witness.
Apologies, my lord. No further questions.
Kim Sharkey grins. Damage done.
Evil from the day she was born. How can any mother say that about her own child?
Trial by tabloid. Just what we needed.
Yeah, the woman is poisoned. The trial's not even over and she's got the public baying for her daughter's blood.
Wrong with the jury. If there was any chance of making them believe her responsibility was diminished, her mum and the bloody red tops just blew it.
Well, you have to find a way to make that jury see what we see.
I'm sorry, George. I don't know what else we can do.
Well, you have to make them understand that Corin Reed is not the only victim here. Rose Shaw is an abused child. She's a victim too.
Outside the Old Bailey, a gaggle of reporters surround Kelly Shaw. An irate James marches up to her. He drags her to one side.
Reporting restrictions exist for a reason, to protect your daughter. You don't give a shit about her welfare, do you?
I don't know what you mean.
I hope your 30 pieces of silver were worth it, because thanks to your snivelling to the tabloids, the whole country have already made up their minds about her.
Kelly sneers. The press pack follow her.
You shouldn't be talking to her, James.
Why not? She isn't a witness.
She should be. If the jury saw her true colours, it's her they'd want to lock up, not Rose.
James smiles as the realization dawns.
So let's call her.
Inside the Old Bailey, Kelly Shaw stands and leans nonchalantly against the witness box.
You tell the court how you make your living.
Kelly grins, unashamed.
I ain't on trial here.
Can you answer the question, please?
I'm a masseur.
Oh, you're a prostitute, are you not?
We don't all have the sorts of mummies and daddies to fund us through a university.
Is Rose aware of what you do?
Kelly glances at Rose. She shrugs.
When the police came to talk to Rose, you were engaged in a sex act with a client while she was in the next room.
Plenty of mums work from home these days.
When Dr. Marsh spoke to Rose, she told him that she'd not only seen her mother working,
then doctors
but that she'd also seen violent, sadistic, pornographic films which you watched with clients.
Turned her into a killer, did they?
Is it right that one of the DVDs recovered from your flat showed a man passing out having been manually asphyxiated during sex, and that another showed a man taking pleasure in being cut with a razor blade during sexual intercourse?
You can't prove that she saw them.
Can you prove she didn't?
No, I've done my best for her.
So were you doing your best for Rose when you tried to give her away to a complete stranger when she was just 6 weeks old?
I was 16. It wasn't easy stuck on your own with a kid.
What about the time you sold her cot to fund your crystal meth habit?
I had a problem then. I had money. Rose don't go without now.
Oh, because you work as a prostitute, servicing clients from a room right next door to your daughter's.
She don't see nothing.
Well, she doesn't hear it. She doesn't deal with the fallout like the time you were beaten senseless by one of your clients.
That only happened once.
Tell me, how would you have protected Rose if this particular client had decided to turn his attentions to her?
He didn't.
Well, can you be sure of that? You were unconscious for quite some time. In fact, it wasn't until your next client turned up some 6 hours later that an ambulance was called.
Rose was all right.
Rose was 4 years old. She thought you were dead. But you don't really care what happens to her, do you?
That's not true.
You don't care that she's out there choking the life out of a 5-year-old boy just so long as it doesn't interfere with your habit.
You're making out I'm a bad mum.
I am shouting it loud and clear, Miss Shaw. You are a terrible mum. A negligent mum. A mum who hasn't got the first idea how to take care of her own child.
She's the one that killed that kiddie, not me.
Well, you might as well have done, because you raised the child that killed Connor Reed. You turned her into exactly what she is, did you not?
Kelly glowers at James and snaps her head around to a cowering, timid Rose. Rose lifts her pleading eyes to meet her mother's.
No further questions, my lord.
Kelly eyeballs James. James sits, then looks towards Julie Reed. An astonished Julie returns his look. He nods. Crown vs. Shaw, Thursday, 9th of December.
On the charge of murder, how do you find?
Guilty.
James's head drops in defeat. Julie Reed closes her eyes. An uncomprehending Rose scans the courtroom. Her eyes come to rest on her wide-eyed mother.
Rose Shaw, you have been found guilty of murder. You alone are responsible for the death of a defenseless 5-year-old boy. What you did to that child is every parent's worst nightmare. I've heard all I need regarding your state of mind and the circumstances of your background, and see no need to wait for further reports before sentencing. I hereby sentence you to be detained at Her Majesty's pleasure with a minimum term of 12 years.
A despondent James sags in his seat. Rose turns to her mother. A tearful Rose entreats her. A sobbing Rose is led away. Kelly Shaw claws at her chest and looks around wildly. Later in the Old Bailey marble foyer, a despondent James and Alicia sit in silence. The lights in the foyer go out. Back at the council estate.
She served the whole 12 years.
I don't know. Dr. Marsh has agreed to work with her in the secure unit, and when she's 15, rest assured I will personally appeal against her move to prison.
Julie Reed watches her son play football with the other kids.
Connor used to sleep in my bed. Never could settle him into a cot. But my arms, he'd sleep 10 hours straight. I used to watch him half the night thinking how lucky I was. I bet no one ever looked at Rose Shaw and felt lucky.
The football rolls at George's feet. He kicks it back. ITFC Audio Description, Julie Moles.